Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing? I mean, nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Program, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grief process. You know, with roughly 100 million caregivers in the U.S. and Canada alone, that's about a third of the population. That means that everyone probably knows someone caring for a loved one. Join Dave and his guests now as they discuss avoiding caregiver burnout and surviving grief. So find a comfortable place to relax, kick up your feet, and prepare to feel better and to receive practical tips and tools that you can start using immediately to get you through today and every day so you can survive your tomorrows. But not just survive, but to live life fully and abundantly. Yes, you heard me right. That is a possible goal to achieve. And now, here's your host, Dave Nassani.
Good morning on the East Coast, on the West Coast, on the Middle Coast, from Los Angeles. Big Ellie, welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I am Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, coming to you live globally from many platforms. 13, I think, is the latest count. iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, SoundCloud now is our newest one, VIP, Internet Radio, MixCloud, Listen Notes, Blueberry, and of course on our website, caregiverdave.com, where all of our over 200 programs are there for your later listening pleasure on demand. And our goal here is to do our very best to help you avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout. And we have an exciting show planned for you today. We have a celebrity in our midst. today we'll be interviewing Janie Leidy, an inspirational speaker, best-selling author, Emmy-winning songwriter, and Grammy-winning music educator. Janie uses a combination of storytelling and inspirational music to connect with her audience. And I don't even know what category to put her in because she's in a class all by herself. You will not want to miss this show. I'm Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver. As I said, and this show is the caregivers of every single kind. And the one thing we know about caregivers is that they're caring, the selfless, sacrificial souls. They have this tiny little problem, though. They're very prone to burnout because they put everyone else's needs above their own. And that's probably why 30% of them actually die before their loved ones do. And the lucky 60% just become hospitalized needing a caregiver of their own. So you see, they're in bad shape. And that's why we're needed, Adrian and I and all the other wonderful people who help caregivers. Now we can learn something from airlines. They tell us in the event of emergency, put your oxygen mask on first before you attempt to help your loved one with their mask. You know, that's, I just keep seeing this plane going down, your child screaming, everyone in the plane is screaming. And right, we're going to put our mask on first before we help our loved one. I mean, I'm the caregiver's caregiver. Even I don't think I can do that, but we have to do it because if we don't, we're all going down. So there's only one way out of the grief process, because anytime you suffer a loss, you go through grief. You got to go through it. There's no shortcuts. You can't go around it, over it, under it. You've got to go through it. And hopefully, if you feel like you're through with your grief and you want to move on with life, we can help you if you feel like you're stuck. And I do want to thank my last week's guest, Matt Browning. And just a reminder, I think Janie knows Matt.
Yeah.
You can listen to that interview and all of our interviews right on our website, caregiverdave.com. I had to think what it was. I've got so many domains. And they all have the words Dave and caregiver. So if you can't remember what it is or what order, just Google Dave and caregiver and you will find me. Well, a big welcome to my wonderful guest, Janie Leidy. This is your second appearance on my show. I think the first time we didn't have video, so now people can actually see what you look like. But in December of 2017, she was diagnosed with stage 4 metastatic breast cancer when her doctors told her that it was incurable. So Janie, if you know Janie, she just told them, "I'm sorry, that won't work for me." And on April 27, just 5 months later, after being diagnosed with an incurable disease, Janie Leidy is here on my show, Cancer Free.
Yay!
Yay!
So you just wrote a new book. Tell us about your brand new book, your second book or your third? How many you got?
Well, so my second book is Leap of Faith, 8 Daily Habits to Power Up Your Leap.
And she's got it ready. Good for
I
you.
do. And of course, because I'm a songwriter, I have CDs that go with my books. And so
We all
every
have our
chapter.
books ready to go.
Yes, yeah. So the book that I'm working on now will come out in December, and it's called Cancer Unplugged: Mind Over Metastasis.
What a great title.
Thank you. I think it just came to me from the heavens one day.
From the heavens, the gods were
Yes.
nice to you.
Yes.
The one true God. So the
Yes.
last time you were on my show, we talked about your role as a caregiver to your dad. Boy, have things
Yeah.
changed. After your diagnosis in December, I understand that your husband actually took the role of caregiver for
Yes, he
you.
did.
And I can certainly relate to that because I'm a spousal caregiver.
Yeah.
Adrian even has a group for spousal caregivers on the caregiver space. So tell us a little about that and being the one cared for rather than the caregiver. The title of my show, I says, when the caregiver needs a caregiver.
Yeah. Well, so this is perfect to talk about today because it is my 19th wedding anniversary to my
Yes,
caregiver.
I saw
And
that.
Happy
yeah,
anniversary.
thank you. So, Sean, the moment I came home with the news, he was down in his shop, in the garage, and he could see the eager look on my face, and he pulled up a couple of our comfy shop chairs and we sat down. And when I told him what the diagnosis was, he did tear up for just like 2 seconds. And then he just looked at me and he said, this is just going to be like a bad cold. And the medicine is going to melt it away. And he goes, we're going to have fun with this. I'm thinking, oh my God, we're going to have fun with this. But,
Who is this man?
but what's so cool is that we've lived together long enough that he knows how I react to things. It's not how you, it's not what happens to you, but how you react to it, right? That was Epictetus, I think. And he just said, you love people and your purpose in life is to inspire and uplift and heal and create hope. And he said, what better way for God to have given you this gift of being able to share that? Because you're going to meet doctors, you're going to meet other patients with similar needs and similar, situations. And so we, from the very get-go, we looked at this as a gift. And he, in his caregiving, he had to change my bandages and help me up and down. I've got 22 stairs from my car to my kitchen and another 12 to the bedroom in our loft. And I, had crutches and of course couldn't really bend my leg at all. So, and then I had appointments, just constant appointments. And so he literally took 3 weeks off of work and just drove me everywhere, picked up my medicines. We'd go to the grocery store, he'd leave me in the car and he'd go in and get everything and come back out. And, he would come up to my bed in the morning with scrambled eggs and give me the pill that I had to eat before I ate. And then he'd give me my eggs and then he'd give me the pill that I had to take after I ate. And then he'd say, honey, why don't you just lay in bed and read a book or something? I'm like, oh my God, this is heaven. But
And he was a good caregiver too. Wow.
absolutely, he was an incredible and still is, because this is an ongoing process and I feel absolutely fabulous.
You look absolutely
Oh,
fabulous.
thanks. That said, there's still pain and there's still, some stuff going on, but the medicines that create the side effects and all that kind of stuff. But he's just been very patient and very kind, as has my son, Tristan, our son, Tristan Ben. So
Yeah.
I'm a lucky girl.
But you're still a caregiver because you're in your midst of being needing care. You're also giving care to some members of the community. Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, so the first day that I met my doctor, Dr. Goxall, my oncologist, he Googled me that night because he's like, who are you people? We were all just feeling great and
Too
happy
bubbly,
and
huh?
laughing. And, I was like, this isn't my normal patient, So he Googled me and he immediately downloaded my Leap of Faith book. And the next day in my appointment, he said, we need you on our team. He's like, he said, and so he asked if it would be okay if he sent me the names of people who were being diagnosed with similar situations and asked me to give them a call. And so I started doing that, and then of course meeting with people for coffee and gifting them my book. And then in fact this morning, one of the ladies that I met with for coffee and really had just a great conversation. She has a friend up visiting in Alaska, and her friend read the book while she was here, and she called me this morning. She said, "Can you meet me at Cabela's with 5 sets of books and CDs? I want to bring them home to my friends." So, it's just a wonderful thing to be able
I'm not
to.
surprised, and I'm not it's you, Janie. We've been advertising this show, this live show, and we actually have a caller in. So caller, if you want to ask a question, there's a little chat button on the right side. Just let us know if you're listening or you just want to talk, because I know Janie's a big deal, and I put it on your page too, so it might be one of your people. So the next question I have, Janie, is you're in the process of writing your new book, as you said, Cancer Unplugged, Mind Over
Metastasis.
Metastasis. Accent on the second syllable. Okay.
Yes.
Tell us a little about your project on the book, and what does it mean, mind over a metastasis and cancer
Well,
unplugged? I know that's a musician term, right?
yes, it is. I was thinking about Eric Clapton Unplugged and all those old, when they started doing those albums. I thought, well, that's yeah. So I thought that was a perfect, a perfect name for me to incorporate, since there will be music involved and all that. But the reason Mind Over Metastasis is part of that title is that I really believe in multifaceted healing. I believe that we do need Western medicine. We need certain things to, I needed to have surgery. And the radiation that followed, I believe, was a big part of removing that, sort of melting away that tumor in my hip. That said, along with that, I believe your mindset has everything to do with your healing. Just a very quick story from the very beginning of this. We had a super moon on the 3rd of December, right after I got this diagnosis.
Supermoon, yeah.
Super moon is very healing. So we're in our bedroom that night. The moon is coming through, and Sean said, "Hold on a second." And he ran down to the basement and he got this magnifying glass. He took the plastic off of the, and so it was just the glass, very smooth. And he literally took that, put it on my hip, and had the moonbeam go through it and melt away my tumor, just the way you can burn a hole in a leaf with the sun through a magnifying
Or
glass.
insects.
Yes. Yeah. Well, boys did that. Girls just did the leaves. But he did that on my hip, on my,
Wow,
they
that's a
said,
powerful image.
"Oh my gosh." And guess what? 3 weeks later, I won't get graphic, but 3 weeks later, I had a growth that was about the size of a dime on my front side. And I was supposed to have it removed and biopsied that week, but because of all the things that happened to me, I had to cancel that appointment. 3 weeks after he did my magical moonbeam miracle night, that literally dried up and fell off by itself. And I've never had that happen before. And I know that God gave us that visual so that we could understand the ease with which what was on the inside would melt away and fall off just like it did on the outside. So
Was
that's
a
why.
wonderful night for a moonbeam.
Yes. Yeah, so I believe that, I believe that Western medicine was part of my cure. And with that said, I believe that the reason why I was cancer-free in such a short time was because of the mindset. And that was one of.
Attitude's a big role, and diet, of course.
Yes.
And you're just the model for how to, Wow. I'm speechless, because I remember you were going through that. We were in the same mind a mastermind group, and you were asking some people who had been through it their opinions on, well, what should I do? Should I get the radiation? Should I get chemo? Should I just, go to Mexico? I mean, how is all that input influential on your decision?
Well, it's we've had several people in our mastermind that had a cancer diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And so it was very helpful to listen to their feedback. You know, Natasha Duswalt, Craig's wife, was the first person I called. And it's so funny because Craig tells this story from stage all the time about how Natasha got in the doctor's office and they said, "You have cancer." And she said, "I didn't have cancer when I walked in this office." And I felt the same way. It was like, damn it, I didn't have this when I walked in here. And, you know, but she was very helpful. And she and Craig both very, you know, just lots of prayers. And then Carrie, who you also know, Carrie McLean, she's just one of those people who is such an incredible friend and comrade, you know, sort of in the mastermind, mm-hmm. but she's also one of my biggest fans. And just, she just helps me keep believing in myself and in my quiet power. And, and so that's very helpful.
Wow. So tell us about your song, Up, Up and Away, and how you chose that for the opening song of your book.
I wrote Up, Up and Away over the course of about, I don't know, 8 or 10 years. It just was one of those songs that wouldn't finish itself. And when I finally finished it, on my album projects, I always now put who the song was inspired by, because I believe it's important for people to know that. You know, I wouldn't have written the song without that inspiration. Well, Marlo Thomas, who played that girl. I have always felt like that girl, you know, she was always bopping around and just happy and peppy and, you know, bursting with love. And so when I wrote that song, I was really thinking about her as I would bop my way around like downtown Nashville when I was there recording. I just felt that energy of, you know, just everything was just that feeling of up, up and away and expecting blessings and miracles. And when I finished that song, I actually was in a studio with one of the publishers down in Nashville, who's quite a big publisher. And he listened to that song, and the first thing he said was, "Wow, this sounds like a great song for St. Jude."
Oh, wow.
And I thought,
oh my gosh,
how weird is that, Marlo Thomas, whose father founded St. Jude, she's the one who inspired the song, and then he says that, and it was like, wow. So I do believe that it's a perfect song to open the book with, because it's all about expecting blessings and miracles and, you know, just being who you are and, you know, who knows what you'll be by the end of the day.
Yep.
And so anyway, I also believe that I'll be doing some work with St. Jude, doing some music therapy with some
That's
of the
amazing.
Kids there, and maybe re-recording the song with, you know, if we can re-record the song with the kids' voices, that, you know, that would just be beautiful.
Good. We're going to take a break. During the break, see if you can play maybe a 30 or 60 second clip of that. Maybe you can just on your end into the microphone.
Yeah, I think I'm going to try something here from my phone. It may or may not work, but we'll see.
Up, up and away, my sky has no limit. This is my day.
Wow, Janie, that was amazing.
Well,
how did you ever come up with that song?
Well, you know, that song, I think I said earlier, was inspired by Marlo Thomas, who played that girl. And
Are you old enough to even know that girl?
I am.
Wow.
So I just always feel like her when I'm bopping around and you know, just living this happy life.
You throw your hat up in the air and you do a twirl.
Exactly. And the other thing about the song is that I had a publisher in Nashville suggest that it would be a really great St. Jude song. And I'm hopeful that one of the things we'll do on our trip is visit St. Jude and I'll do some music therapy with the kids, and maybe we'll even do a remix of the song with them singing it.
Wow. I can see it now.
Yay!
Let's take another break on that note. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Janie Leidy and Adrian Gruberg.
David Nassani.
Dave Nassani.
best-selling author Dave Nassani.
Dave Nassani is a best-selling author. Where is the caregiver for the caregiver? That is where Dave Nassani comes in.
Mr. Dave Nassani.
Thank you.
So you're needed.
I am needed.
You are very much needed.
I am
needed. Kind of one of a kind, right?
The woman I loved had suffered a massive stroke, left her severely speech impaired and paralyzed on the right side. And in that moment, our world turned upside down.
Well, the first mistake the caregivers make is they don't know how to put their needs first.
Mm-hmm. Now, the airlines tell us every time we go on an airplane that an oxygen mask will fall. Put your mask on first before you help your loved one with their mask.
Right.
I mean, what an amazing metaphor for all of life. Take care of you first.
For the next 2 years, our lives had become a living hell.
Everyone has one of these. It's called a cell phone. You turn it on, you punch in your number. Hello, Mom. I need help. Grandma's driving me crazy. Call your brother. Call your sister. Call your wife's ex-husband. Call anybody. Get over that silly notion that if you can't do it all by yourself, you're a failure as a caregiver. I realize there are so many other caregivers out there who are hurting and feeling lost and alone. And I didn't want them to hurt anymore.
It's called Sanford and Son.
Right.
He used undeserved guilt.
Show.
It went something like this. Oh, it's a big one. No, son, really, it's a big one. Elizabeth, I'm coming to meet you, honey.
She's amazing to watch. She makes us normal people look like whiners and complainers. I mean, she's my hero. Someone is just wired like a caregiver. You know, they're caring and they're giving. And they give and give and give. But unfortunately, they give until they burn themselves out. Mm-hmm. There's nothing left to give.
Yeah.
So now I host a popular iTunes podcast, The Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show. Mm-hmm. And I'm a best-selling author to my third book. It's My Life 2, Reclaim Your Caregiver Sanity. I've been on my national book and media tour all across the country, just being on morning shows just like this one.
Yeah.
And I even shared the stage with Suzanne Summers at Harvard. And basically, I'm sharing my message, how to prevent your loved one's illness or disease from actually killing you.
Join our team. If you know someone, tell them to join our team. We want to be your support. We want to love on you.
Dave is an amazing man. I was in tears when I heard his story. He spoke from his heart.
Dave is really my idol because he created something for caretakers. And I was a caretaker for my father. It was so hard. It's already 15 years and I'm still crying.
Every caregiver's life is a love story. Let me help you make that love story one of hope and triumph. Thank you very much. And we're back with Janie Leidy and Adrian Gruberg. Adrian, any questions for our star here?
When you said you had a friend who said, well, when I walked into the office, I didn't have cancer. What brought you to the doctor's office to begin with?
I had pain in my hips for about 3 years. And
wow.
Yeah, and I had gone to the doctor, and I'd even gone to the emergency room a year prior to finding this out because I couldn't hardly walk one morning. My husband brought me to the emergency room, and they took an x-ray and said, you have sciatica, go home and take ibuprofen. And I said, you know what? I have had sciatica my whole life. This is not sciatica. This is deep, deep bone pain inside my bones. And they said, well, we don't see anything. Just go home and take ibuprofen. So, you know, I had done some myofascial massage. I had, you know, had some adjustments and that sort of thing. But I was on stage at Craig Guswalt's Rock Your Life night in November down in L.A. And I was fine that night. And the next night I woke up at 2 a.m. with so much pain surging down my right femur. It felt to me like a tooth attached from my hip to my ankle that was being drilled nonstop with no Novocaine. That's how severe it was. It was excruciating.
Wow.
And so anyway, I ended up having to miss the mastermind, and I flew back home and had the MRI done. And I figured they'd say, oh, you know, you have osteoarthritis or you have a pinched nerve or something. And my doctor called me before I was even dressed from, you know, from the MRI. And he didn't even pull any punches. He's my naturopath and we're good friends. He just said, Janie, I really didn't expect this, but it looks like cancer in your hip. And I'm like, what? You know, that was exactly, I remember saying, what? You know? And
it had been going on for a while?
They think it's been in there for about 3 years. And
wow. You know,
I never had any anger about not finding out sooner. People say, well, if you'd found out sooner, it wouldn't have gone to stage 4. I honestly know with all my heart that God gifted me this in his timing, because it is giving me the opportunity to be of greater service. And I would not have had the tools to serve in the way I'm serving had I known this mm-hmm. 2 or 3 years ago. I wouldn't have written Leap of Faith. Mm. I wouldn't have gone through some of the things that I went through with my own father and being there when he passed. You know, there's a lot of things that went on during that time that I would not have experienced. So it was God's timing.
Wow. That's great. I want to read a testimonial from one of your fans who keeps your music in her car. It was, you already spoke about her, Carrie McLean. This is a funny story. I heard it. So she goes on and she says, it was a gloomy, rainy day this morning as I drove to my oncology appointment, because she had cancer too. But it felt like the most beautiful day with lots of miracles coming my way as I sang along to your CD. Many of your fans keep your music in their car at all times. Some even say it is cure road rage. Tell us about that guy.
So Daryl lived in Southern California, and he and his wife Kim do a lot of commuting back and forth between LA and where they live. And he just said that they actually bought all my CDs. They keep them rotating in the car at all times. And he said, one day I literally was driving down the freeway and there was a guy on my tail, and he was, you know, just, he said, my anger was building and building. The road rage was coming on. And he said, as the guy passed him, he was totally ready to give him the bird. And at the last second, you know, my music was playing in the background. And he said, I could not bring myself to flip the guy off. He said, my bird turned into a peace sign. And he said, I think it made both our days better, because he said, the guy looked at me, saw kind of what I was going to do and what I did do. And it was like he laughed, I laughed, and we both kind of chilled out and went on, you know, our happy ways. So.
Yeah, and I likewise have been listening to your CD for like 3 weeks now.
Oh, good.
I stuck it in. You know, I like to change CDs around in my car.
Yeah.
I was expecting to say in about 3 days, okay, it's time for another CD.
Yeah.
And I just can't take it out. Now I'm humming the tunes in my head when I'm not in my car. So that's kind of a great hit when you can't get it out of your mind, you know.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Dave.
Music's powerful.
It is powerful. So as you know, there can be a good amount of burnout in caregiving. Your last book, Leap of Faith, 8 Daily Habits to Power Up Your Leap, has some really great daily habit ideas that can be inspiring to both caregivers and their care receivers. So why don't you share a few habits with that?
Well, I think one of my favorite habits is live in gratitude. Mm. And I have a song.
Attitude of gratitude.
Yes. And the song, of course, that goes along with that chapter is the thank you song. THANK. While you, ooh, it's a great sing-along when you're doing stuff with audiences.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you choose gratitude, regardless of your situation, the way that my husband and I did, for instance, with, you know, when we got my news, when you choose gratitude and you choose to live literally right in the moment that you're in, it is so much easier to feel blessed and to feel as though everything's going to be okay. You know, the thing that gets us in trouble is when we go back to the past and go, crap, if they would have, you know, if we would have found this out earlier, then, you know, I wouldn't have had the stroke, or I wouldn't have had the cancer stage 4. I wouldn't have, whatever. That gets us in trouble. If we go to the future, then we bring in the worry, and it's like, oh my God, am I going to be here for my son's graduation? Am I going to be here to see him get married? Am I going to have the grandchildren? But if you live right here and right now, in this present, moment. And you're grateful for that moment where you can look your beautiful Charlene in the eyes. And even though she can't talk with you with her mouth, she certainly talks with her eyes. I've had many a conversation with her, and it's absolutely lovely. So that, I'm going to just say, that's my favorite daily habit. And I think that that's just one that if everyone were to adopt that, I think we'd be in good shape.
Amen. So tell me how your husband handled being a caregiver, because I know it's tough. And you know it's tough. We all know it's tough. How did it start out? I mean, usually caregivers, you know, it's like fumble around and make mistakes and lose their temper and realize, I think I bit off more than I can chew. And was any of that going on before he got his stride?
You know, I have to say that the way he stepped into this in itself was like a miracle, because he can have, you know, some anger. He can have some, you know, we all have, like you were just saying, I mean, we all have those things that can derail us. Not once in this whole process did he do anything other than lead with love. You know, whether it was driving me somewhere or listening to my squeaky crutches across the room, or, you know, just having to, you know, to do the cooking and the cleaning and, you know, the things that I normally do and I love to do. And I love that he doesn't have to do them. You know, he works hard, as an aircraft maintenance guy. And, you know, I'm the one who loves to have dinner on the table when he comes home. And I mean, I'm just kind of old fashioned. I like to be that, you know, the mom and the wife that does that. And he is so grateful, I think, you know, for me doing that all these years. In a sense, maybe that made it easier for him to kind of turn the tables, because he was able to give back something that he truly knew what it felt like to be on the receiving side. And and knowing how much he wanted me to heal, and that, you know, love heals. Love is one of the, you know, one of those holistic things that it is so much a part of the equation. And I think he led with love the whole way through.
Sounds like he loves you very much.
Did he have any kind of issues making time for himself? Did he need your permission, you know, or did you communicate well? All the things that can lead to friction and tension between the caregiver and the caree.
Right. You know, I really want to say, you know, something to make people think, to make people know that, you know, no, it's not a perfect situation, and it is difficult. But I have to say, like, really seriously, I feel like the whole way through, it really, you know, it just really was a breeze. Now, let me say this about it. We are fortunate because we have an extended family that is also so incredibly supportive. My little sister, Carol, flew up immediately from the Bay Area, and she was here for 8 days. And
you
she
live in
was, she's yes. And she spent all those days, all day long in the hospital with me. I was there for 5 days straight after they put the titanium rod in my leg. And so that was very helpful, because that gave Sean some freedom to go back to work a little bit, to kind of catch back up with his clients. And so, you know, so had she not been here, maybe there would have been some tension, but we had that help. And then I have three sisters and a brother, and my mom is 88 and she's still alive. And, you know, they're calling me every day, and they're expecting the blessings and miracles too. And I think, you know, that just took some pressure off of him. So I think, you know, very important for the caregiver is to graciously accept the help from other people. You know, sometimes when we're caregiving, we feel like we have to do it all. If somebody steps in and says, hey, let me help, let me cook a meal, why don't you go off and go fishing and let me, you know, come in and take care of Janie for the day. Allow that to happen, because that's where we figure out the burnout situation is like allowing other people to step into the picture.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of people feel that I'm the only one that can do this.
Yeah.
And a lot of people who are the carees feel, I'm only going to let my husband take care of me. Nobody else knows what to do, or wife.
Yeah. And yet everyone wants to be a caregiver. Can I share a really quick story about Monk? So my radiologist, Dr. Larry Doherty, started something called Radiating Hope, and it raises money for creating some facilities in other countries where people aren't as fortunate, you know, to have the care that we have here. Mm. And he started doing these climbs on like Mount Everest and Mount Kilimanjaro. Uh-huh. So my brother-in-law, my sister Chris's husband, Dave McCone, who lives in Newport Beach, and I stay with them all the time when I'm down doing my events, he heard that when I graduated from my radiation treatment, I got a flag, and that flag through Radiating Hope would be carried to the top of Mount Kilimanjaro and be released as part of my healing. So Dave McCone said, oh my gosh, Janie, that climb has been on my bucket list my whole life. May I carry your flag to the top of Mount Kilimanjaro?
Wow.
Talk about, you know, caregiving from around the world and, you know, and the entire family. So Dave right now is en route back to Newport Beach. He summited the mountain with my flag. He raised $4,000 for Radiating Hope. I think that was the amount he raised. And he's on his way back home to his wife, who is just nervously awaiting his arrival because, you know, it was quite a treacherous climb. So I'm really excited to hear his story. And in fact, I've asked him to share his story in my new book, Cancer Unplugged. Mm. And I would love to say, too, that I've asked Dave Nassani to share some of his story in my book as well. Mm-hmm. So there'll be some very special guest authors.
How cool. You know, you talked about during my wife's stroke, people would always ask me, what would you do differently if you could do it over again? And, you know, obviously I would say that, or I would be tempted to say, that, well, I'd wish we would have went to a better hospital and she wouldn't, you know, be disabled. She wouldn't be able to not speak and all of that. But then, you know, I thought about it and I says, you know what, I like who this journey has turned me into, and my wife as well. And so I'm not sure that I would change anything because, first of all, it's a silly thing because you can't change anything.
Right.
And you just have to play the cards you're dealt, and you're dealt them for a reason. Mm-hmm. And my whole life changed, I think, for the better. You know, I have purpose now. Not that I didn't have purpose before, but the purpose seems like it's a higher purpose, and she seems like she has a higher purpose. Because before tragedy strikes, you know, we're all just busy doing our own little selfish thing, and it's all about me, it's all about me, it's all about me, and now it's not all about me anymore, not all about her. It's about helping the world, you know, as you like to say, with your own vibration. And so let's take another break on that note. Mm-hmm. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Janie Leidy and Adrian Gruberg. Dave Nassani, the caregiver's caregiver, has just released his sixth book entitled It's My Life Too. Reclaim your caregiver sanity by learning when to say yes and when to say no. It was specifically written for caregivers who know they should be putting their needs first, but just don't know how. Dave is the sole caregiver to his wife, Charlene, since 1996. He knows firsthand what caregivers are going through because he is one. And he now speaks all across the country, offering caregivers his incredible caregiver support package. Even the airlines tell us that in the event of an emergency, to put your oxygen mask on first before you help your child with their mask. They know that those who don't heed their advice often black out, thus becoming unable to help either themselves or their child. And caregivers are exactly the same way. It's My Life Too. Reclaim your caregiver sanity by learning when to say yes and when to say no. Will help caregivers who are neglecting their sleep, diet, and social life, and learn to put their needs first. Pick up your copy today, or buy one for your special caregiver, on sale everywhere, and at caregiverscaregiver.com. Back on Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show with our guests Janie Leidy and Adrian Gruberg. And you are an inspirational speaker, best-selling author, Emmy-winning songwriter, Grammy-winning music educator, and now you have a brand new testimonial as a cancer survivor. Your resume is you're going to run out of room. you call yourself the Bionic Woman and the Miracle Girl. So
yes,
I don't know what's next in your future. Sound like you've almost done it all.
Well, I have to tell you, we are really excited right now because we just bought a 34-foot Winnebago RV Class A. Mm-hmm. And August 1st, we will be escorting our son down the Alcan to get him off to Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University in Prescott, Arizona. He's going to be driving his truck down. And originally, we thought maybe I'd drive down with him. But then as
from Alaska?
We've driven down the Alcan and all the way to Maine and back and all over. But we thought, well, you know what? It's a little bit hard to sit for a long time with this titanium rod in my leg. And so we thought a motorhome would make it easier to kind of stand up and walk around, you know, and get some movement. And we're going to attach our bikes to the back, and we have some stand up paddle boards that we're bringing with us. And so we're going to take this incredible trip and get our son off to college. And then Sean had the greatest idea. He said, honey, let's just like look for the points of light in our country, the places like Sedona, you know, sort of the vortexes in the country. And let's just be in the flow. So we're going to do some concerts. I'll still be working on finishing the book. And my husband actually has some airplane stuff to take care of in a few places like Salt Lake City and Seattle. And so we'll visit family along the way and friends along the way. And it's just going to be a blessing of a trip. And then we'll have to be back up here in November for some medical things for me. And he's got to come back and work on some airplanes. So.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yes.
And so you're not going to live in Alaska anymore?
You know, Alaska's been our home for 33 years, our home together for 20 years. And I think that, you know, we'll always come back here for different things, you know, along the way. Uh-huh. But we're really interested in being closer to the lower 48 because as a speaker, and right. a performing artist, there are a lot of things happening in the lower 48 that I would like to be able to partake in, and, you know, stages I'd like to speak on and concerts I'd like to sing that, mm-hmm. you know, usually I fly out of here and leave my family behind and do those performances and then come back. Well, I think we're ready for, you know, for being able to be together. So if we can winter, say we could, you know, live in Arizona from, you know, November to April when it's 70 degrees and lovely instead of being up here when it's, you know, right. 10 below.
Yeah, Alaska has two seasons, August and winter.
Yeah. Right. Well, and, you know, we're ready for an adventure and we are ready for taking that leap of faith and knowing that we'll grow the wings on the way down.
Hi.
Oh, I'm finally you're going to talk to us. Who are you?
I didn't want to interrupt. I'm Dana Wellborn. I'm a friend of Dana.
Hi.
Hi, Dana.
Hi. How are you, love?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I was so blessed when I came across the notice for your gratitude for him and the caregiving, and then I saw this gentleman's radio thing, and I went, I should go do that.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. That's awesome.
Me too.
Well, I'm glad you spoke up. Thank you.
I am too. Yes.
I was confused. I've not done this, but it's like it muted and then I had the option of unmuting, but I'm like, I don't want to interrupt.
Well, I sent you a chat, but I guess you didn't see we have a chat room and I spoke to you, but some people don't do that.
Well, mine's just on my phone. I didn't do it through online. Called the number.
All right.
And I did.
Well, thank you for calling in. We just started doing that. You're the very first caller who's ever called on the show because even though it's taped, I says, you know, there's no reason why we can't try to take advantage of the live portion.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm honored. I'm honored.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Dana.
Thank you, guys. It was good to talk to you.
You too. Thanks. You go have some blessings and miracles in your life.
And talk soon, because I have an idea of some places you can go, because I do road trips all the time out west.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, private message me.
Sure. Okay. I will. Okay, love you guys. Take care. Okay.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Cool. Well, I can't believe how fast the hour has gone. It always goes so fast, Adrian, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
How can someone get a hold of you if they would like to hire you as a speaker or do an inspirational concert in their home or to buy your books or your CDs?
The best way is to go to www.janielidy.com, and it's JanieLidey.com. And on my website, you can check out my book and listen to some samples of my music and click on the link to set up a speaking engagement and or concert. And I look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you, Adrian. How do we get a hold of you?
Adrian, Adriene, at thecaregiverspace.org. And all of the different social media platforms we're on can be accessed from there. So
great. One-stop shopping. Same with me.
CaregiverDave.com.
Or you can just Google Caregiver and Dave, and you're going to see us come up. And that's where, listen to my welcome video. We've got a new one up there, and it's going to show you how you can become part of our team, how you can just get a free gift, my welcome pack. It's going to help caregivers who are just starting this journey, and it's going to help caregivers who've been stumbling through this journey and then get back on track. Well, as you said, gratitude is one of the keys of being a successful caregiver, an attitude of gratitude. And I would like to finish with a clip of your thank you song, because it's just the one that leaves people feeling uplifted and good.
Yay!
Anything you'd like to say about your song on your way out?
Well, this song was inspired by Stephanie Adriana Westover, who...
Thank you, song.
Yeah, she came up to me one day and just, she said, oh my gosh, Janie, the next song, I woke up this morning and I just had this feeling the next song you write should be about gratitude, because it's what you're all about. And what was weird is the night before, I had had a dream that I was singing the thank you song that we did in college when we'd go places and people would feed us. And it was like this thanku, you know, this really cool SATB a cappella thing. And so it just seemed fitting that the song should be written that day.
Yeah. Okay. So thanks again, and we'll see you all next week. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Thank you for the morning sun.
Thank you for joining Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show. Make sure you tune in to catch more of Dave and his tips to caregivers on avoiding burnout and surviving the grief process. Goodbye.